Okay, we are up to Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Dalid. Anybody want to volunteer the page number?
Nun Gimel.
Well, page Nun Gimel. Nun Beis. Okay. One of Hillel's most famous quotes. It's a quote that has somehow made it into non-Jewish literature as well. Hu haya Omer. Hillel used to say, Imein ani li mili, they ever made a song out of this? They did?
They got this in the song.
What? They got this in the song, yeah. So, literally, if I'm not for myself, who am I? And if I am for myself, who am I? What am I? What am I instead of who am I? Vim la yashav emesai is the easiest to understand. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. But the other two parts open themselves to many different interpretations. So I guess we'll learn Rabbi Chaim Loshen his interpretation. Let's see. Hu ha'yomer imein ani li. Ki hinei ha'yetzer hara misames einei ha'adam. Yetzer hara blinds man ba'omrei elav by telling him tamid. Ech efshelcha lasek b'teira halimuchachata lasek b'parnasa lefarnis ishtcho b'nei beis raktanim. Yitzhara tells him, you don't have time to learn. You have to be busy taking care of your financial needs. Uma gabi itim halolu. And Rechaim Volozhin writes, certainly in these days, sha'olah pranasa kaveda ad ma'id. Sounds like a quote every generation says. You know, in these days, the oil pranasa is really tough. Ve'en l'chayayim v'chulu she'en l'chayayim she'em echad kolosam ruva mechaverta. Avol be'emes uach atzas hayetzer hamesama. It's the eighth of the yetzara that blinds man. Chiyomer Rabbi Seinu Zal shekaidem itzirus avlad nigzer ala tipa matei oleha osherayani. Before someone is born, is gzera in heaven if he'll be poor or wealthy. V'ubederach klal al kol shenaisav. And generally speaking, that's true for his whole life. Now, I was tapping for a second. He says b'derach klal. In other words, he seems to leave room for a change from what was nigzar before a person was born. And here we have the Rambam sheet. The Rambam says that when we're taught that before Yetzirus Havlad, a Baskol comes out and says various things about an individual, that those things are not etched in stone, that they are things that can be changed. And if I recall correctly, the Rambam's marshal is, let's say somebody's born with artistic talent. So you say he was born to be an artist. It's not true. If he's not interested in it, if he doesn't develop it, he's not going to end up being an artist. So the same thing with all of the things that are Barim Yom Kayin Tzeres Havlad. The Asher Ayani means that under normal conditions, that's what's going to happen. But it is possible for a person to sort of force the issue and change it. That's the Rambam's Shita. And he's saying v'ubederach klala kol shnei savam. I don't know for sure what he means, but it could be he means this idea.
For a normal person, where does the concept of ishtadlus come
into this? So that's going to be the question. Now let's finish what he says, and we'll see. Val kol shnei befrat. So till now, he talked about a person in his lifetime, whether he'll be wealthy or poor, is a gzera. Val kol shnei befrat. And in each individual year, we learn. B'zaneisr shaladim ketzuvim lei resh hashanah. That person's bezainis are set from the beginning of the year. Nimtzaim, kol yigiyaisav lo yigilayim uva yaisim imashen niktzav. Comes out with all of his efforts, he won't earn more than he was decreed to receive. V'zeh ha'yach lahasigat b'ma'at omel. And he could have gotten that with less work. Why does he say he could have gotten that with no work?
No work, you can't get away with it.
Really? That's what he said. Less than nothing is nothing, okay. Avo b'divrei taira, Hakol lefi yigia. Torah is different. Torah depends on how much effort you put in. Chol asher yosef lisyageya yosef das. And the more a person puts effort into his learning, the more he adds his knowledge. V'zeh shomer b'esek ha'tayra. Im ein ani li mili. Regarding esek ha'tayra, if you don't do it for yourself, no one's going to do it for you. Ki hakol toli bi. V'binyanei oylam hazeh, k'shani la'atzmi ma'ani. And in regards to oylam hazeh, k'shani la'atzmi mo'ani. If I think it's up to me, what am I? Af Hashem Yisbarach, techalti v'savri. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the person's hope has to be towards HaKadosh Baruch. So the way Rabbi Chaim Volozhin attaches these two seemingly contradictory statements, Meili means it's up to me. Kshani lasmi imani means it's not up to me. So he translates, he explains that one is talking about ruchdias, and ruchdias, a person should feel it's all up to me. When it comes to gashmias, that a person should feel mani, a person should feel that it's not him that makes it happen. So this is the general idea. Now the question of where ishtadlus fits in is a question that's dealt with in numerous ways by many mefarshim in class. If someone asks me for a pshat and how ishtadlus works in, I tell him, you know, I can find you a pshat, a pretty broad spectrum of pshat. But I think the reason for that is this. I think I once saw this in Reb Tzadik. The way I remember, I quote Reb Tzadik, although I can't be certain that's where I saw this. He says there are certain ideas, concepts, that human beings are supposed to struggle with. That don't have clear, they had a clear answer, human beings wouldn't think about it too often. But ideas such as ishtadlus and betachin. Well, ideas such as bechira, free will, and yediyah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge of what will happen. Now, these things don't have clear answers. When the Rambam discusses the contradiction between God's knowledge of what will happen and man's free will, the Ravid writes, he shouldn't ask a question if he can't answer it. That's what he writes. Don't ask questions if you can't answer them. And then the Ravid offers his own answer, interestingly enough. But the idea is that there are things people are supposed to think about. People are supposed to be asking themselves certain questions. How much overtime should I put in? Does it really matter? And then parnasa, sometimes you push in one direction, it comes from another direction. And on the other hand, sometimes you mishtadl, and it appears to our eyes that that's what makes things happen. So these are struggles. There is one concept which is found in the Beis Halevi and the Michtam Eliyahu and the Hamakna. The Hamakna was the Baal HaFlo, was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. And these three, the struggle between the Ishtadlus and Betachin, say the following. They say that a person is obligated to do enough Ishtadlus to reach Betachin. What they mean is this. If you're on the level that you can just go learn a whole day and you have Betachin, real Betachin, not a laziness inspired Betachin. If you're on that level, so do it. Mr. Bilyahu says that Reb Zalman Volozhiner bought a lottery ticket. He said he's Yaitzei Ishtadlus. So everybody buy a lottery ticket and be Yaitzei Ishtadlus. He says, if you're on the Madrega, you have to do an amount of Ishtadlus that leaves you with a betochen that it could come naturally. It could come without miracles. So different people are different. Some people are capable of worrying later. Some people are capable, like I said, in our world, it's those who are capable of getting married and learning a couple of years and then worrying, as opposed to those who feel that, before you get married, you have to know exactly where it's all going to come from. It's sort of, it depends on the person. And the language that all three use is that a person has to be mishtadl to reach the level where he feels comfortable being a beteach. Having betachin that if I'm supposed to get it, it'll come. So I don't say this is the only approach, but I think it's a healthy approach. Because you need a balanced approach without the darga of doing no ishtadlus. Certainly in hope, but not people who have zero betachin. So you do need some sort of a balance.
I heard a story about some godlike prophet, but it wasn't him. I don't think who had a business. And his ishtablis was that he knew what he needed barely to live for a day. He opened a business until he made that much money, and as soon as he made that much money,
there are stories about Gedolim that gave out their money at night and the next day worried anew. I don't know, that's a pretty tough level. If you already have the dollar in your pocket, and that's hold on to it, I don't know. We live in a world where, a guy's 30 years old and he has an IRA. Right? There are tax incentives. But I don't understand the tax incentive. When someone's 30 years old, he'll be matzliach, he's in a lower tax bracket than when he'll be 65. So, why is he pushing his taxes to when he's in a higher tax bracket as opposed to...
When you retire, you're getting a lot much lower tax bracket.
When you retire, if you have no income.
Yeah.
That's what you mean. Okay. Nobody retires today.
It's another thing.
Yeah. Anyway, this is his explanation. Certainly the theme that he says, that when it comes to Ruchnius, you have to feel it's all up to you. When it comes to Gashmius, you have to feel, I can't do it by myself. Many people have tried the same thing, and one has succeeded, and one has not. And he adds, V'yiz boyer oid. Kinei b'shloisha devarim cholak esek ha-Torah, v'yira miske elam ha-Zeh. There are three basic differences between learning and going to work. Now, he doesn't mean differences between learning and going to work. He means differences between how things succeed in learning and how things succeed in Anyanei Olam HaZeh. Explains. Aleph. Ezek HaTorah VeHayira Mutelas Alah HaAdam VaHashem Shoyel Zayis Me'imai. Learning, Yerushamayim, is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from the person. V'Shein Kein Parnasa. Omnam Nistavinu LeHanois Me'Agia Kapeinu. Commanded to have our sustenance from the work of our hands. Aval achla Hashem atshua. At the end of the day, God has to make it work. And excessive pushing will not change things. Let's first argument is that when it comes to learning, it obviously depends how much time you put into it. Because the parnasa, you have to do a normal ishtadlus. The extra pushing for ishtadlus, you can turn the other way and the money comes from a different direction. That's one. Bay is the second difference. I'm sorry, ki rav? Allah kotzav. He won't add more than his decreed. Avaloi came to Torah. Balatar Messiah. If you're coming to make yourself better, God helps. And even if he doesn't succeed in his learning, by working hard, he gets schar. That's how it comes to spiritual things, it's as if the person succeeded. Now here, I think I have something something over most people, is that I happen to have a lot of interaction with individuals who are Bali Tshuva that just inspire me. They inspire me with their work. I was visited again on, was it yesterday, by a fellow named Jonathan Gross, nice Jewish name, who became from while in West Point. Well, in West Point, I became from this young Israel in White Plains, which apparently is not far from West Point. And he became from Yid. And the young Israel of White Plains is fortunate enough to have Rabbi Reisman CDs and tapes. So I guess he got to know me. Mm. He came to visit me the first time. He was about to be promoted to major. Mm. But if he'd be promoted to major, he would have to go do a stint in Iraq and a stint in Afghanistan again. So first time he did those stints, he was, just looking into Frumkeit. Now he's got two daughters. And his wife is lagging behind him. She agrees with the Frumkeit, but he's the motor. He's going to go away for 6 months. He doesn't know what he'll find when he comes back. So he asked me what to do. Very interesting. I told him, you answered me with your question. But what he is attempting to do is to stay on the federal payroll, because after 20 years he gets a pension. He joined the army, he was 18 or 19, he could be 38 and have a pension. So that's, he has an application in the FBI. He said he was number one, I don't know how they rated on those who interviewed, and then the sequester kicked in. So what's he doing for Parnassa? So he's, right now, he's driving ambulances at night. If he works for Cornell Hospital. He says a big busha. We walked into a room at West Point, everyone stood up. And now, he's in Manhattan on the ambulance and he cleans up the vomit of the street people, like he said that he never knew what anova is. But he does it with a yarmulke. His only dream is to get to Gemara. That's his dream. Right now his learning is Chumash, Mishnayis, and Pathways of the Prophets. Those are his, not necessarily in that order. And he just inspires me. The fact that he pushes like that. And So I mean to say, he talks here about the fact that in Ruchnius, you have to believe that however much you succeed in the amount you learn, how much you remember, how much you retain, how many skills you acquire, you have to understand that by God, it's not what you acquire. It's Sefer Rosh HaTzadik. What does he say? Hashem lo yezvenu biyadai, v'lo yashienu bihishafte. When God judges him, God's going to judge him by the effort he puts in, by the kayach he puts in. And this guy, in these years, has done more mesiris nefesh than I've done in my whole life. I mean, his mesiris nefesh, his sacrifice, is more than I've done in my 55 years. Tomorrow's my birthday, he'll be 56. It's nice for you to say that. What about the honor? Is honor all from Hashem? Is honor from Hashem? The difference between lecturing at West Point and driving around in the bottom of the totem pole and picking his shifts in Cornell. So, you know. I don't know. He did tell me that he's making on the ambulance exactly what he was making in West Point. Except he said at West Point he got housing allowance, which he doesn't get now. But that's not the point. I don't think that's the point. He told me some interesting stories, but I don't want to give up all my stories in one sitting, but, we'll get to it. A Gimel. He did tell me that in Mahmadiyya, it's a city in Iraq, there's a neighborhood called 17 Tammuz, 17 in Arabic Tammuz. It's called 17 Tammuz, and it's the city of celebration, where they celebrate the wartime success, and they call it Shivasa Tammuz. They call it 17 Tammuz. That's the name of the neighborhood. Isn't that amazing? You know, like, wow. Amazing. Okay. Yeah, you know, we're a little, the Jews are just a little family, you know. You meet a Jew, you talk to him enough, you find out you're related to him or his neighbor's related to you. How many Jews are there in the world? And, you know, in the middle of Iraq, they have 17 Tammuz. It's like, amazing. What? It's part of Jewish history, but what was going through my mind was the fact that Iraq is Nebuchadnezzar. There's a machlokes, the Bavli Yerushalmi, if in the Bais Rishon was the 17th of Tammuz or the 9th of Tammuz.
Right.
So apparently, Saddam paskined, like the Yerushalmi, that is the 7th. I don't know who named the neighborhood, but, whoever named it, it's, Alright, Gimel, his third point. Esek ha'ilam, lo yasek behem hayayim, yimtza'im lamachar. The Esek ha'ilam, if you won't be Isaac in them today, you can push it off to tomorrow. So, you know, if he pushes off going to college 2-3 years later, it'll start 2-3 years later. But Shenkin Avodas Hashem, Layashlam Biyayim Acher Chayvaseyayim. If he misses today, he's just missing that rung on the ladder. A person each day can't push it off for the next day. Next day's a new day. Lazay Summer. Im Einanili Biske Shemayim Mili. If I'm not going to help myself in heavenly pursuits, Mili. Ki hu rak bi yadi v'lo bide shemayim. Ubeis, kishani la'atzmi ma'ani, ratzalayman. B'li eze bayri ma'ani. Without God's help, what am I? Elmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezrei, eni yachaloi. Even in serving God, you need siyata d'shmai. V'lo yaymer amtin imkein ashisiyani mishamayim. Let me wait till God sends me a message. Ki haschola amnatsar shiyami adam atzmai. A person always has to open the door. According to a person's devotion and his preparation, he will have help from heaven. If you come to purify yourself, God will help. You have to be the ba. You have to start things, and then you'll have siyata d'shmaya. If I don't have siyad d'shmai ma'ani, v'im loy achshav ehim asayik, loy tashlum mochar chayvas achshav. Because tomorrow you can't pay what you missed today. I'd like to mention that the Mishnah Berurah says something that's not well known. We grow up knowing that the mitzvah is to use every moment of a person's life. Therefore, we're basically convinced that if we miss learning today, you can't pay it back tomorrow. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. Mishnah Berurah says aside from a person's obligation to learn Yom HaVelayla, there's a concept of Kviyasitim L'Torah, of a person being Kveya times for learning. However that fits into the picture, there is such an idea. And Mishnah Berurah paskins that if a person misses a Kviyasitim, he can pay it back. A person has a set Seder and he misses it for whatever reason. So it's a Chayv. He says you pay it back the next day. It's not true. It's true you can't pay back moments of your life, but the idea of Kviyasitim L'Torah, that a person is capable of paying back.
If you learn Yom Valila, when do you have time to pay it back?
Yeah, if you're someone's learning Yom Valila, then there's no time to pay it back. But the idea of Kviyas Itim, that a person can push himself, he allows himself a certain amount of time to rest, to relax. If you miss the Seder, you take from that time and you do it. Okay, we still have a paragraph left. Well, I guess we'll do it, God willing, tomorrow.